How are you all? You doing well? Have a good Sunday afternoon? Did you enjoy the sun? Arnica Ditchie's red. What's going on? Sunscreen, Arnica. There is an invention that stops that. So just so you know for the future. All right, it's all right. Yeah, a few of you others have been in the sun, I can tell. Yeah, good. Now we're going to spend some time with the sun. All right? So, oh, yeah, that's how you do that. Okay, awesome. Fantastic. Well, I'll just pray and then we'll get into it. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we've spent some time worshiping. Lord, we're just so blessed and privileged to be here tonight together. Lord, we pray that you'd knit our hearts together. Lord, we want to journey with you and see your kingdom come. And we all have a role in doing that, Lord God, and being part of that. So, Lord, we ask that you would fuse yourself to us, Lord God, that we would just be in you and you in us, Father. In your precious Son's name, Jesus. Amen. Fantastic. Well, it's been a little while since I ministered. In fact, it was last year. So there you go. I have spoken elsewhere. I've been in Gore and I went down to Wellington last week. And it's just been great to see what God's doing around the place. But we're going to start with a video tonight. Is that okay? One ready for a movie? For a video clip? Let's do this. Should we do that? Thanks, Steve. Steve, you're awesome.
I once had a friend named Billy Wiley. Billy was zealous. He thought that since his name was Billy, that he was called to be a great evangelist like Billy Sunday or Billy Graham. Instead, he taught me some ways not to witness. So here's Billy Wiley's top 10 ways not to do evangelism.
Look, I am a servant of the Lord God Almighty. You shall respect me. Blame every house and sell son and wife.
Why, you...
The Bible says turn the other cheek.
Fine with me.
Excuse me. Are you a Christian?
Man, I'm not into that stuff.
I said, are you a Christian?
What must I do to be saved?
Excuse me.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to die tonight,
whoa!
Do you know where you would go?
That's a gun.
Let me pray for you.
Okay.
Have you obtained into the ways of the just? For thou hast been purchased by blood before the foundation of the earth.
What?
My Gentile friends!
Whoa!
Billy once heard a story about 19th century evangelist Charles Finney and how Finney walked into a factory and just stared at a guy and the guy repented right there on the spot. Billy thought he would try that too.
Are you okay?
Do you see eternity in my eyes? I feel the power of conviction in your soul.
No.
Just wait a little longer.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah. Yep.
Cool. Jesus loves you, man.
Ugh. I'm gonna have to get back to you.
Oh. He loves you so much.
What theater? I don't know which theater.
I'm gonna dance like a fake, gonna take a sailor's chase, cause I know last time me, I'll change a fan.
Bro, what are you doing?
I'm Israel, and you're the walls of Jericho.
Okay, let's get out of here.
What? Ladies? Ladies!
Hey,
I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
What are you talking about? Why? What are you doing?
The way I see it, because their eternal soul is in the balance, there is no method off limits. And I mean, no method.
Awesome. Just wipe my eyes from crying with laughter. Yeah, I'm a cry. Yeah, interesting, eh? None of us have ever tried any of those, have we? Good. Awesome. Very cool. It's important to note that zeal always uses the most radical route, while wisdom chooses the most fruitful. We need zeal and wisdom. Nowhere in the Bible are we told to be rude, weird, or strange. And if you think that's all right, maybe you need to show me some scriptures, because I haven't seen that yet. You know, just recently, the small groups have all started up, and hopefully you're all going to one. I see that hand. Thank you. Saw one person too. Awesome. If you're not going to a small group, get along to a small group. It'll bless your life. It'll, you know, like it says in the bulletin, I think it's because doing life together is better. And we need one another. The Bible talks about this over and over and over. We were designed to do life with each other. We're not supposed to be islands. That wasn't what God intended for us. God himself is community. He is three in one. That's who he is. It's an expression of who he is. So we're designed that way. But we just started our small group recently. And we're just got, you know, I was praying to the Lord about what we should do. And there's a certain people group that are on my heart that we've been kind of reaching out to. And so in that, I just felt in my heart, thinking about, you know, this is the whole idea of how do we share our faith? How do we share this God that we love and serve, that we've, you know, many of us here have come to the knowledge of, and we've received salvation, and we're now walking in this brand new life. How do we get to a point where we can share that with someone who just does not have any understanding, or perhaps has maybe a hurt understanding, or whatever kind of understanding it is? How do we relate that? And one of the things that really jumped out at me, I think, really is of what Jesus did, was he just shared stories. You know, each of us has a story, and I mean, your story is your life, what you've done, what your life has been, the road that you've walked, the road you've trodden. And there are things that have happened along that story, that journey, that have defined your life and made your life what it is today. Is this okay? It's not too deep. And, you know, when we look at those, when we realize that our story says something, it's just like when you get a fairy tale book or, a novel or something like that, where you read a story. It's communicating something to you. You feel the characters. You understand the situation. You maybe start to empathize with what's going on in the story, and all of a sudden you can relate to it, and it speaks to you. You know, anyone ever read a novel and they've just been a blubbering mess at the end of it? Not me, sorry. Yeah, good girl. Awesome. I like some. Anyone, anyone watched a good movie and they've just been laughing hysterically? Just, you know, so funny. Not many movies these days. Yeah, a few hands up there if you want to admit to that. And, you know, it's something like, just something awesome about hearing a story that touches your heart and does something to you that moves you and you react to it. What happens then is it connects with you. Is that all right? You know, we read a story or we watch a movie or we hear someone else telling us a story and it connects with us and it moves us. You know, and I believe that really that's one of the most amazing ways that we can share our faith with other people is just our stories. And so what we've been doing in our small group as we just started is we're going to just share our stories. Share our stories of what's happening in our lives, what God has done and our journey, and hear from others who perhaps aren't yet in the Lord and hear their stories and their journeys and what they've been through. You know, I think I might have mentioned this before, but I've used it once before. There's a Billy Sunday was mentioned in the video there. Billy Sunday, if you don't know, was a famous baseball player way long time ago, early 1900s, I think, maybe even 1800s. And he turned evangelist. He got to, you know, he got saved and became a powerful evangelist traveling around America speaking. And he used to go around talking about the five Gospels. And people used to say to one another, oh, he's just, you know, he's not educated. He's a bit simple. He just doesn't realize there's really only four. Anyway, he kept going around and saying five Gospels. And there's one occasion he's in this one place and he says five Gospels. And some guy at the back stands up and says, excuse me, sir, there's only four. And Billy Sunday says, well, excuse me, sir, could you please sit down? There are five, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you. And the fact is that more people read you than the other four put together. And, you know, we have to understand that our story is powerful. And that's what that Billy Sunday was getting at. Yes, it's great to read the story in here, but people are looking for something that's powerful. And when someone lives out a story, when there's something we can relate to, it's powerful and it speaks to us. Tonight I want to look at a piece of scripture that you're not unfamiliar with, but I want to look at something that perhaps you may not have seen before. So if you want to turn to Luke chapter 24, and Easter's coming up, so this ties into the Easter story really nicely. So this is my Easter message. Is that okay? So turn to Luke chapter 24. And there's something in this little story that you've heard before that really jumped out to me and really stirred me in this area of what we do with our stories and how we share our lives. So we'll start in verse 13 and we'll go from there. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. And one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened here the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that have happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with this amazing report. They said that the body was missing and that they had seen angels who had told them Jesus was alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said." Just pause there. So these guys are walking away from the greatest day in history. They've walked with Jesus. They've heard his teaching. They talked about all those things. And then they confess that not only that, but Jesus' body is missing, that some of the ladies they were hanging out with have said there were angels there who told them that he's now no longer there, he's risen. And then some of the men have gone and checked it out, and they have verified the story. And they're still walking away. Okay. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus, and they were ending their journey. In that moment right there, Jesus sees these guys. They're brokenhearted. They're let down. I mean, we don't know exactly why they left. I'm guessing it's really just the fact they said that we thought he was the Messiah. So they had this picture of what the Messiah was, and Jesus didn't measure up to their expectation. So Jesus has disappointed them, even though they've heard these amazing testimonies from the ladies and from the men who have been to the grave. And they are still just disappointed with it. So they're walking away. And then Jesus rebukes them and says one thing. He says, "Don't you know, haven't you thought about all the things that have been written about me, about God? The whole history, all the prophets, all those things. And you didn't realize that this is the way the Messiah had to go." And then he begins to tell them his story. He goes through all the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. So Jesus right there begins to unpack his story once again for guys that have walked with him and shows them the big picture. The whole Bible, everything that's there. I don't know if you've ever tried that. Have you ever sat down with someone? I don't know if if you could do this in an activity in a small group, or if you've ever sat with someone you've had a coffee with and they said, "Oh, you're a Christian, what's that all about?" And you've tried to, or had the opportunity to explain the whole Bible, the whole story of God in 5 minutes. How hard would that be, you know? I'm guessing this was quite a long conversation. I don't know. Maybe the road to Emmaus was quite a long way. But imagine trying to unpack the whole of Scripture, the whole story, to someone who you've just met and try and unpack it to them. You know, recently, or I think it was a couple of years ago now perhaps, The History Channel did a series called The Bible. Did anyone see that? Yeah? Okay. Now, I watched that, and it was awesome. It was really fantastic. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but check it out. It's great. And I was watching it going, this is cool. They've done this, and they've done that with that story. But then there are bits where you're watching it going, oh, man, they missed that out. Oh, and they didn't do that. And when you understand the magnitude of what they were trying to do in creating that TV series, you would realize that they wouldn't be able to do everything. In fact, man, it'll be the first season would probably be just the first half of Genesis. You know, that would be it, you know, and then we'd have to come back for another season to try and just do the rest of the book of Genesis. But it's a massive, undertaking, is it, to try and explain the whole story of God to someone who doesn't quite understand. Jesus takes these men through his whole story. He unpacks it all. He shows them. He makes it plain. He says, remember what this prophet said. Remember what Moses wrote here. Remember right back in the garden where God said to Eve, I will stand, you will stand on the head of the serpent. I am right there creating a redemption story. I'm going to fix this problem of sin that was started right back at the beginning. Right back there, the plan of Jesus took place. And he goes back and he unpacks the whole thing of what Moses wrote and all the prophets. And he unpacks it for them. And they get really close to Emmaus and they realize, or Jesus gives the impression to them that he's actually going to keep on walking. He's going to keep moving on. They say, no, please don't go. Stay because we want to hear more. Maybe the story hasn't been completely unpacked yet. Can you just stay and have dinner with us and just tell us a bit more of what is going on there? And so Jesus tells them, and then as he breaks bread with them, as he gets to the last part of his story that he shared with them, he breaks bread with them, all of a sudden their eyes are open, they realize, and in an instant he's gone. And this is the amazing thing, is the response of these guys. So they've basically got to Emmaus. They're there. They've gone where they wanted to go, and they get there, and they're in this moment. They've had the whole story of God repeated to them, and they sit there, and all of a sudden they get the revelation that God is right there with them, that Jesus is with them. And this is the response. It says in verse 32, they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? Didn't our hearts burn? Something inside us churned. Something changed. Something shifted. There was something about what he was saying that just moved me. And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. They were turned, they were moved, and they had to just get up and they had to go back. They realized they missed it. They realized that something, they had got it all wrong. And all of a sudden, they understood the whole story. They got it. They got it right there. And they grabbed it and they go back to Jerusalem, however long it took them to get there. And then it says, they found the 11 disciples and the others who were gathered with them, who said, the Lord is really risen and appeared to Peter. So that's to talk about how now Peter's confirming the story. And then in verse 35, it says this. Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road and how they had recognized him when he was breaking the bread. They'd encountered God's story. Jesus unpacked it all. He showed them, this is my story. You should know this, guys. Come on, this is my whole story. You were with me, and now I'm going to show you it all. They get the revelation. It burns in their heart. It moves them. It changes them. They realize that they've missed it. And now it's all of a sudden, it's like they've rediscovered salvation. All of a sudden, I get it now. I understand my place in God's story. And so they rush back to find the other disciples. And they get there. And then they share the story of what God has done in their heart. As simple as that. They go from one place where they hear God's story, it gets deposited in their own spirits and their own hearts, and then they go off to testify of what God has done in their life. They testify of the story they've heard, and now it becomes their story. All of a sudden, God's story comes in and becomes part of our story. Our story is no longer just about us. You know, everyone has a story. Everyone walking out there has a story. Like I said, you could talk to a non-Christian, ask them what their story is. And they will share about the things that have happened in their life. They'll talk about the significant moments in their life. But all of a sudden, when God's story comes in, it envelopes our story. And all of a sudden, our story is messed up and it's changed. Just like those guys, they're sitting there and their hearts burn. It's all of a sudden, something makes sense. All of a sudden, it's shifted. And their story is transformed. And they go back. Yes, they hung out with Jesus. Yes, they spent time with him. But all of a sudden, revelation dropped in. And their hearts were shifted from here to here. And they went racing back because all of a sudden it made sense. All of a sudden they got it and God's story activated in their life and their story was changed forever. God wants to write his story into ours. That's what it comes down to. No big surprise. God was at work before you were born. You have the privilege right now to walk into his story and be part of what God is doing and write your story into God's story. And I don't want to scare anyone or shock them, but when you die, God's going to keep working after you're gone as well. It doesn't finish just because you're gone. God is so much bigger than that. And we look back at history and we look at these guys at the beginning of the church and God's story began to explode across the planet as God's story went out to all these different places. As we know what the apostles did as they went out and took it around Europe and Asia and all these places into Africa. And the story of God expanded through history. And it kept on rolling, it kept on moving. Why? Because God isn't finished yet. And his story is going from glory to glory. And we get the opportunity to step into a story. So our life doesn't just have to be our story. Yep, you could die and you could have your gravestone and there's your story. You know, you have your day you were born and the date you died. And there's a little dash in the middle and that dash sums up your whole story. That's it. That one little dash tells it. Yeah, that was it. Bloop. Or you could step into God's story, allow God's story to envelope you, become part of something significant that would shift the whole planet, just like these guys, have their hearts shifted and changed and transformed to what God wanted to do. And we can step into that story, and all of a sudden, our little dash doesn't have to be just so little and so insignificant. In fact, it could be part of something even bigger, because God's beginning, God's end is everlasting. His dash is, you can't measure it. It just keeps on going. The biggest dash in history. And so we can put our dash into that big dash, or we can just hold on to our little dash. It's the truth of it. When it comes to sharing your story, I think it's just about this. The beautiful thing about this, I think, you know, like Pastor Andrew shared this morning. He was talking about from Matthew chapter 10 where Jesus selected the disciples. And Andrew pointed out, remember, all the different jobs that they had and how they weren't really the pick of the bunch. That's the people that Jesus chose to take his story on. They traded their little dash for the big dash. And it didn't matter where they came from. It didn't matter if they were fishermen or tax collectors or zealots or whatever they were. They could take a hold of the big dash. And they can say, you know what, I'm not going to be defined by my circumstance. I'm not going to be defined by where I'm from. I'm not going to be defined by my occupation or whatever life circumstances has given me. Just like you. Every single one of us has a story. And we could go around and we could share our stories and talk about the things that have happened in our lives, the things that have defined us, the good things, the bad things, all the things that have happened to us. And we could let that define us. Or we could trade our little dash for God's big dash. And take our place in the bigger story, the story of God, the story that is going to change the whole of the planet. And we have the privilege of partnering in that and becoming part of that. So we could sit on the sideline and we could watch other people doing the story of God and go, yay, clap, clap, yeah, cheer them on. Or we could take our place on the field. We could jump into the game. And I believe that's why the disciples were who they were. We hear about their backgrounds, we hear about their stories, and we go, God can use them, he can use anybody. And so it doesn't matter who you are and what you've done or what your life story is. God's story wants your story. He wants to envelope your story and he wants to be part of your story. He wants to show you a better story than the little dash that you can hold on to. So the truth is this, just be yourself. Don't have to try and be someone special or someone big or don't want to have to necessarily be the next Brian Houston. That'd be cool if that was your calling and destiny. But not everyone's going to be Brian Houston. Just be yourself. Share the good news of God's grace and that changed your life. What did God do in your life? What has God shifted in your heart? Why are you different now because you have all of a sudden become part of God's story? You know, see, so often I've come across people, you know, in the world who can argue against this. They, you know, you bring it out and they go, oh, yeah, but this, and this. Because it's history. That's how they see it. And they go, they argue it and say, this didn't happen, this didn't. You tell you what Billy Sunday says is true. People can't argue with your story. When you talk about your experiences and what God has done in your life, it's like that blind guy. I think it's in the book of John, just after John chapter 8, perhaps, where Jesus heals the blind guy and he goes to the priest and the priest start asking all these questions. He doesn't know. He just says, look, I don't know. At the end of the day, I don't know if he's a good prophet or anything. All I can tell you is this. I am healed. Before I couldn't see, and now I can, and that's it. There's nothing else to it. And it's the same kind of thing. People can argue and say, look, I don't know. At the end of the day, Jesus is this. He said he was this. I responded to it. My life has changed and I can't explain anything else. All of us have that testimony, hopefully, that we were this and now we're this. And Jesus was the only thing that was the difference in that. He was the only thing that shifted that. So we all have a testimony of sorts of what Jesus came into our life and changed. He took our little dash and he changed it for a big dash. And all of a sudden we can share that with someone and say, you know what? Yeah, I might not be able to pull out 100 artifacts on, you know, this, that, and the other in the Old Testament, but I'll tell you what, this is what happened in my life. I was this, I was a sinner, and now I'm found. And each of us has that story in some way, shape, or form. That's evangelism. Just sharing with people what we've done, what God's done. In fact, the number of stories, even in Jesus' time, where people would just say, come and look, come and hear the guy, come and hear this guy. I can't say anything else. Just come and hear the guy and let him transform your heart. Let Jesus come in and do it. I can't really explain anything else. I can tell you what's happened in my life, but you need to experience it for yourself. Each and every one of us has the opportunity to partner with God, to become part of a story. Like I said, those disciples, Pastor Andrew said this morning, some of them were despised. Some of them were the bottom of the barrel, the bottom of the bottom of the barrel. They were the lowlifes, the people that no one wanted anything to do with. And there Jesus is walking around with them, spending time with them, hanging out with them, teaching them and discipling them, making them world leaders. What the heck? So it doesn't matter where we've been or what we've done or what our circumstances are. We may feel sometimes like it's the bottom of the barrel, but I'll tell you what, God doesn't see you that way. He doesn't see you as the bottom of the barrel. He sees the potential in your life. He knows you've got a story and he wants to intercept it so that his story can collide with your story and all of a sudden you can be part of his big story and share your story to impact someone else's story. It's all about the stories, people. And so as we take on this whole idea of evangelism, of just sharing what our story is, what it is to be a follower of Jesus, what has changed in our life, what has shifted that has made me different from then to now. And it's real because it's not just someone else's story, it's my story. It's a story that I have been transformed in. I've taken God's story and I've said, my story is not good enough. I need God's story to find my purpose and to find the reason why I was created. So I trade my little dash for my big dash and I take that place. And each and every one of us has the same privilege. You don't have to go through a ceremony. You don't have to go through a whole bunch of rituals like they used to in the Old Testament. You can just come to Father God in your brokenness with your story and tatters in your hand and go, God, I don't know anyone who could do anything with this story. I don't know if anyone who could do anything with this. It's the bottom of the barrel. It's the bottom of the bottom of the barrel. But I hear tonight that, God, you can take this broken story and you can take it into your story and make it something significant and powerful and a testimony to your glory and a testimony to your love and a testimony to your grace. And you can even take it even further than that and not just forgive me, but give me purpose and take me somewhere significant to see your kingdom come. How amazing would it be if you're on the next missionary trip to Siberia and you sat here today and you go, nah, it can never be me. I've heard testimony after testimony of people who serve God who said, when I was newly saved, when I first came to know the love of Christ and I responded to him, man, I couldn't have done anything like that. Man, I just had problems. I had issues. And mate, I still have problems and issues and I'm still going for it. But we all have problems and issues. And then you look at them 5, 6, 10 years later, whatever it is, and they would look back and go, I can't believe what God has done with my life. That's the God I serve. The God who can take the things that we think are insignificant, the things that we think are nothing, the little stories, the broken stories, and God can make them something powerful as we come into his story and he takes us on. The amazing thing about all this that I've said is this, is that we need to make sure we don't forget that Jesus promised that he'd be with us wherever we go. You know, the fact that when we bring our story before God and we allow his story to take over, that means we invite Christ to be with us all the time. Jesus never leaves us or forsakes us. He's right there with us. Every battle we have to face, because all of a sudden life doesn't become a bed of roses. When I say we have an awesome life and a powerful life, it doesn't mean it's a bed of roses. I'm not talking about, woohoo, yay, no problems. No, sorry guys, it's life. But the awesome thing is God is there. He never leaves you or forsakes you. So when a problem comes along, God is right there. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. I hope that you've got hope tonight. Is there hope in your heart? And if someone, if they see that hope in your life, do you have an answer ready to give when someone says to you, what is it about your life? Why do you have so much hope? What is there? What makes you different? Do you have an answer? And the beautiful thing about that is, like I said, you don't need to know theology. You don't need to go off and go to Bible college to get a testimony. Every single one of us has a testimony. All we have to do is testify to the goodness of God and be prepared to share that simple story of what it is. And verse 16 of that same passage says, but do it with gentleness and respect. You know, not like that video where you got a gun to the guy's head or whatever and forcing it out of them. Just share your story naturally. Do it with gentleness. Do it with respect. People are people. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your story. It's an amazing story, Lord God. Lord, we read this word, we read the Bible, and your story just speaks to us, every inch of it, Lord God. Everything that happened, like Jesus said to those guys on the road to Emmaus, unpacking the whole story of what has happened in your journey of redemption, Lord God, right from the garden, right through to Jesus, to his crucifixion and raised again, Lord God. It's a powerful story of your love and your grace and your mercy towards humanity. And Lord, each of us have partaked in that, Lord God. We've all come into that story. We've all taken our place in the story that's been going since before we were born and will continue to go forevermore because that's who you are. Lord, we thank you that we all have that privilege. Lord, I pray that tonight, Lord God, that we will be filled with boldness, Lord God. Lord, that we will be filled, Father, with a heart that would be open towards those around us, Lord God, those people who are asking, Lord God, looking for hope, looking for something to share. Lord God, we just pray, Lord Jesus, that we would be instruments in your hand, Lord God, that our story wouldn't be sitting on the sideline, but Lord, our story would be in the game. And we pray all these things in your precious son's name, Jesus. Amen. Just one more thing before I hand back to Pastor Andrew. Just recently, I was in Wellington with the denominational youth heads. The different denominations have youth directors. And we're talking about a tool that's been come out just recently. Those of you who are internet savvy, this is for you. If you have an internet connection, you're online and you're down, good buddy, whatever. If you're online and you have internet and stuff, there's a new app that's come out. You can get it on any cell phone, I understand, Android or Apple. It's called Yes, He Is. And what they've done is this really cool thing where they've taken video clips of they're real short ones, most of them like 1 minute long, of a video clip of, say, someone talking about, there's an example, there's a guy, there's a very short one of a dentist where a lady's in the dentist chair, she sits up, he goes, it's all over, and she says, oh, thank God, and he looks at her and says, what, God? And they have this discussion about whether God is real, and he basically says, well, how can there be a God? There's so much hurt and pain and horrible stuff happening in the world. And she turns to him and says, well, I don't believe in dentists then. And she goes, what? And she goes, well, I just, all this plaque and all this decay and all this tooth rot that's all in the world, I just don't believe in dentists. And he says, well, I can't help anyone if no one comes to me. And so you have these little video clips like that, and the guy's kind of taken back. And you can post them. It's this app that's all clever. And what happens is you post it on Facebook, or you send it as a text, or you send it as an email. And what happens is you send it to a friend who maybe they're going through something like that, or there's different situations. But at the end of the video, they watch the video. At the end of it, it says, do you want to know more about Jesus? And they click on it, and they get a gospel presentation. And so it's this little tool. If you're wanting to something different, something more modern, something that, you know, doesn't include paper tracks, but you want to send out like some videos that are really cool. It's got like testimonies of Alice Cooper and Bono on there as well, but all these other things. And you send that, and it's got the gospel attached to it. But check it out, yesheis.com. Awesome. Pastor Andrew, why don't you come?